Well, good morning, friends of Jesus. It is Saturday, April the 26th, in the year of our Lord, our risen Lord Jesus Christ, 2025. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Well, as you know, on these Saturdays through 1 John, we are going to be covering more of the content of 1 John. Sundays, we'll be back with a psalm from Timothy and Julie Tennant, but we'll go 6 days a week for these weeks together leading up to Pentecost. And then just for your information, we're going to be launching into one of my favorite series. It's been years ago that I first did this. I'm ready to take another swing at the tree. But the series will be called, But Encourage One Another Daily, as long as it is called Today. And it'll take us through the whole summer, probably about 12 weeks. And it's a walk through the whole Bible, in a sense, and lifting out all of the wisdom and revealed truth as it relates to this calling of encouragement, this gift of encouragement that we want to hone in ourselves. It's going to be a great summer study. I'll say more about it as we go along, but just wanted to put that out there. All that to say, what made me think about it was that this summer we will be running Holy Spirit stories again every Saturday and then Psalms on Sunday. So, sorry for that brief program note. Now, it is Saturday. We've got waking up to do. We've got awakening work to do. And that, of course, awakening begins in consecration. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead. And Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Yes, Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, The Game-Changing Question of Easter. And our text is 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Hear now the word of the Lord. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. I still can't get over this. John seems to think it is possible to not sin. I have met countless people who believe Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. But no one comes to mind who actually believed we could avoid sin. Does it follow that since Jesus Christ atones for our sin and that he will readily forgive us when we sin, we don't need to worry about not sinning? I mean, of course it would be nice to not sin, but is it essential? This is the same kind of question believers were asking in the early days and ever since. In Paul's letter to the Roman church, he responds like this. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin, how can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. That's Romans 6, 1-4. Go back and read that again. The writers of the New Testament make an extraordinary claim here. They contend we are dead to sin. So I ask you and me, are we dead to sin? This is the post-Easter question. We must reckon with the answer to this question, and until we do, we will be hopelessly compromised. When Paul says, "In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus," that's Romans 6:11, he's dealing with this question. Most of us are good with the death and resurrection of Jesus being the atonement for our sins. But when it comes to his death and resurrection being the power to not sin, that's a different story. Why? To be saved by grace through faith requires nothing of us except faith. That's Ephesians 2:8. But once we are saved by grace through faith, our faith must go to work. We must act on the grace we have received. We must, as Paul says later, put sin to death. Getting back to the big question, is it possible to not sin? What if we flip that question on its side and asked it like this? Is it possible to love? I'm going to begin asking myself that question in the midst of my daily situations, when I'm on the verge of being infuriated. Is it possible in this situation to love? I think that's the question the Holy Spirit waits to hear, ever ready not only with the answer, but the creativity and the power to respond. That question will be a game changer. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for being our advocate with the Father. Thank you for the new and living way you have opened up for us. Fill us with the Holy Spirit that we might live into the birthright of our second birth, the power to truly love others, to love you, even to love ourselves. Take us past our superficial understanding of sin as merely our personal failure, and reveal to us the way our sin harms others, and you, and ourselves. And then show us what love looks like in those moments. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. In the journal prompts, I want you to choose a garden variety sin in your life. Maybe it's your sort of go-to sin. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's impatience. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's gluttony or envy or jealousy, comparison. I want you to think through all the ways it harms others, all the ways it does damage to you. all the ways it grieves the heart of God. And then I want you to take this next step. What would it mean to reframe this sin as the failure to love in these instances? Now, this will not come naturally or easily. You're not, at least I'm not, used to this way of approaching it. So I want you to stay with it. Now, we're going to sing in a minute here one of our hymns from our Seedbed Hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. It's in the section of the hymnal called Forgiveness of Sins, Repentance and Cleansing. It's a great old hymn called Power in the Blood. It's number 487, 487, if you want to go ahead and put your thumb in the page. Let me just have a few more words of encouragement here with us together. This is such, you know, I call this entry the game-changing question of Easter. And here's the question. Do you believe it is possible to not sin? Now, in case that feels, you know, too overwhelming, let's take it back a notch. Do you believe it's possible to overcome the particular sort of sin that you tend to most deal with in your life? That one, let's just pick one. I sometimes think, you know, it's we look at a question like this and we think, oh, well, it's just kind of, that's overwhelming and amazing grace, you know, how sweet the sound. And let's just, I'm not perfect and I'm just forgiven. So if I can't really become perfect, then what's the point? And that's the whole point. I sometimes think, what if we took on one kind of sin a year and we just said, Lord, we're just going to put this one out there for this year. And this is going to be the, and let him identify it. And then let him walk you through a process whereby you become dead to that sin. Because you already are dead to sin. That's what happened on the cross and in your baptism. But that is true in principle. It's true in fact, but it has to actually become true in reality. And this is where most of us just sort of let it go and just move on, or we get overwhelmed, or life happens. But I want you to know that Jesus takes you seriously. And he wants you to take him seriously. And to wake up to the offer, to what's on offer here. It is amazing grace. And again, this is not self-improvement. This is transformation, transcendent formation. This is what God wants to do in our lives. And again, he's not trying to make us morally, you know, perfect. He's trying to make us full of himself, full of his righteousness, of his goodness. And what'll happen in that process is sin has lost its power. It will lose its allure. We will lose our appetite for it. It will become a waste of time and we'll know it. But the beautiful thing is that our life will cease to be revolving around like that sin. Our center of gravity will shift to the love of God and what is replacing that sin in our life, where Jesus is coming in and actually displacing that brokenness and filling us with his goodness and his glory. And that is just profound power. This is the awakening that we need. And it is by the blood of Jesus, just as we are saved, you know, from the penalty of sin, the same blood saves us from the power of sin and puts us into this place where we're living with power over it. We're going to sing now. You ready? Power in the Blood, number 487. We'll sing all four verses. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. I heard some of you in there with those echoes. In the blood, in the blood, in the blood of the Lamb, of the Lamb. I could hear you out there. Don't think I'm not listening. Well, that's an old hymn, but it's a new truth. And we need that today. You know, a lot of us just kind of give up. We have a besetting sin like anger or lust. That's two that Jesus kind of picked out in the Sermon on the Mount and took us from the surface of the sins down into the deep into the heart of them. And we just kind of have given up on them. We're like, well, I'm just a sinner. That's just how I am. And boy, that's not the vision of the gospel. I can tell you, there's grace, abundant grace, but that grace is meant to take us onward from one degree of glory to the next. And of course, this isn't from trying harder to do better. This is from opening up, radically opening up to the grace of God, to the presence of Jesus Christ in us. His blood cleanses, purifies, makes whole. It's just going there persistently. Well, I'll just stop there. It's Saturday. It's a lot for Saturday, I know, but maybe it's good to be in a little different mind space to really ponder this and take it seriously. This is witnessing to the power of God. When, I mean, you've known people that, like, they're not who they used to be, and you know why they're not, because they've been changed by grace. They've been transformed by God. That's the story he's wanting to write and is writing in our lives. So be encouraged. It's not up to you. It's up to Jesus. All you got to do is just keep saying, I'm yours. I belong to you, Jesus. Keep welcoming his grace. Keep letting go of the broken places. And then just keep opening to demonstrating it out in the world. That's where we're headed, to the fields today, the Saturday fields. So gather up your seeds and I'll see you out there. Hey, before I go, just one more invitation. Put this in the email. I say, can I send you the vision written down on tablets? And of course, that's my vision of what a book is. And in this case, it's the vision, as in 1 John, with my commentary added and designed to spark holy conferencing and journaling, underline, highlight, margin notes, interlineate. This becomes the record of the transforming grace of God. And even as we just continue to this is a whole move that's happening in 1 John, and we want to kind of keep reinforcing it by going back and rereading it and retouching what he said to us through it. And then, of course, nothing like that prepares us to join in a conversation with others around this Word of God. So I'll put a link in there to, you can order a copy, grab one for a friend. This is such a great conversation to invite a friend into, and we'll get it rushed your way. The link is in the PS today in the email. Hey, it's time to get going. I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.